Let us pray. Dear Lord, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit with an extra measure upon us this day. Breathe into us that we may hear a word of your love and your truth. Use me as your vessel, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Have you ever been stuck in traffic behind a big heavy truck? There's a story about a highway in San Diego, where I've never been, but some of you may have been. There's a highway that exits onto another highway. And the speed limit on the first highway is 55, as it is on the second one. But when you get off of that first highway and exit onto the second one, it's uphill. And if you're behind one of those big, heavy trucks, you suddenly are going from 55 down to less than 10, maybe. Anyway, this is a story about a woman who happens to be behind a great big cement mixer. And she goes up that hill and up that hill, and it's slow and it's slow. And she has to really look at the tires to make sure that the machine in front of her is still rolling. And she hits her horn because she's getting anxious, beep, beep. And then she thinks, why bother? It's not going to do any good. So she sort of taps her fingers and tries very hard to patiently wait. And then they pull off of that highway. And she thinks, oh, good, now I can pass him. And she pulls out to go around him, and she looks over to glare at him and maybe even shoot him a gesture or something. But she looks up, and the cement driver is looking down at her, and he's smiling. And all of a sudden, this puppet pops up, and it's one of the Sesame Street characters, and it waves at her. And she can't help but smile. And all of her anger and all of her impatience is dissipated and it's gone. Don't you wish we sometimes each had a puppet we could just pull out of our pocket and wave it to our own face sometimes, much less the faces around us? This truck driver knew how to help ease a situation. And he did that day with the woman. Certainly wasn't what she had expected. Certainly wasn't what he, well, I guess maybe he did expect her to laugh after he waved at her with his hand puppet. But in some ways, Jesus was kind of like that. He did what nobody expected him to do. He surprised people. What he did was not according to the traditional modus operandi. He did something different. Now, that was one problem with Jesus. He wasn't what people expected. He didn't do what people expected him to do. That's why his family thought that he was a little crazy. He was literally beside himself, outside of his mind. And they thought, well, if we get in there and we talk to him, maybe we can talk some sense into him. Well, it doesn't work that way. At least it didn't work that way with Jesus. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. Now, this was kind of like a man whose name was Will. And a reporter once asked Will, he'd heard that he was a pious man, and he says, do you go to church on Sunday morning? And Will kind of looks at him, and he says, do I go to church on Sunday morning? What do you mean? Well, do you go to church on Sunday morning? You mean, do I go to those steeple places? Nah, I don't do that. Why don't you come on and have lunch with me today? So they go to lunch, and the man's expecting to talk to Will and maybe even interview him for the newspaper. And He can't talk to him because they keep getting interrupted. The first man comes up. Well, first of all, they go into a little convenience shop with a gas station and everything and a little restaurant off to the side, and it's empty when they go in, and they find a table right in the middle, and pretty soon it fills up. All kinds of construction workers have come in. And so they sit down, and the fellow thinks he can really talk to his friend Will now, and first fellow comes up and he says, "Will, I really want to thank you for performing my sister's marriage." And a little bit later, another fellow walks up and says, "Will, I didn't want you to forget, Mom's surgery is tomorrow morning. I hope you can see her at the hospital." "Surely will." A little bit later, another fellow comes over and he says, "I'd like to talk to you, Will. I'd like to set up a time for my wife and I to sit down and meet with you. We're having some problems right now and think it might help if we both sat down and talked with you." "Sure. You've got my phone number. Call me anytime and we'll set up a time." And this went on, and about 1 o'clock, the place starts to empty out. And after a bit, the fellow looks at Will and he says, "Well, we really haven't had a chance to talk." And Will says, "Nope, we really haven't, have we? But let's go ahead and leave now. Church is over." Will had church wherever he went. He didn't have to go into a building. He didn't have to sit around with friends and sing hymn and look up at a bulletin and listen to somebody stand up and give a sermon. He made church everywhere that he was. By the way he treated people, by the way he acted, by the love and the help that he extended to others. There was a saying once about, you can't put him in a box. Well, this is the way it was with Jesus. You couldn't put him in a box because he was unexpected. And you couldn't say, "Well, he fits here." "Oh, no, no. He fits there." "Nope. How about right there?" You couldn't find a box to fit him in because he didn't fit any box. He was his own person. He was the Son of God. He was love sent to the earth. He didn't fit into a box. He was church all the time. There was a poll taken, and I don't even remember how many years ago it was. I just remember that it was interviewing people in America about particular parts of the Bill of Rights. And if this came up for a vote today, would you vote for it? And it was surprising, as I read this article, to read how many parts of our Bill of Rights people in that day and age wouldn't have voted for. And I think to some extent, we as Christians might want to vote on things in the New Testament, and let's see how we would turn out. Things like, love your neighbor. Anybody voting for that one? Maybe not too many. Oh, I see a couple of hands. What about turn the other cheek? Oh, again, a few hands. Blessed are the poor. Maybe we think it's the rich that are blessed. We might not agree with everything that Jesus says. That's the whole point. Because he doesn't fit into a box. He is who he is. He is God incarnate. He is love. And try as hard as we might, none of us have that much love in us. We can try. We all want to be like Mother Teresa, but we're not. And maybe that's because we just haven't stopped often enough and said, "God, be with me. Fill me with your spirit. Show me how to share your love. We can't put Jesus in a box. And if we look around today and we think of the hotbed issues, where would Jesus be? Where would he stand on gun control? What about Black Lives Matter? What about voter reform? Or COVID vaccinations? Where would he stand on the issue that's closest to your heart? I don't know. I'd like to stand here and tell you where I think he would be, but that's just my opinion. I haven't sat down and talked to him about it today, okay? I'll confess that. Maybe if I did sit down and talk to him about these kinds of issues, my eyes might be opened in a different way. I don't know. But I won't presume to guess what he would say. His nature was radical. He did things that were unexpected, that were different. He sat down and ate with people that were unclean. There's a story about a fellow, his name is Timothy George, and he and his wife went to Boston. He took a small church in an area called Chelsea, Massachusetts. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that part of Boston, Massachusetts, but Chelsea is a small community, just a few blocks large, but it's one of the most poverty-stricken, drug-ridden communities, if you want to stretch it and call it a community, in the whole country. And there was someone that all of the pastors there very quickly got to know, and they called him Johnny Cornflakes. And they called him Johnny Cornflakes because he could often be found digging through a trash can or a garbage can, looking through cereal boxes, etc., trying to find something to eat. And Johnny would come to the church every now and then, and they'd give him a sandwich or give him a clean shirt or a coat in the winter time. And they would try and make sure that he had a place to sleep. And all of the churches in the community kind of took Johnny Cornflakes under their wing and tried to see that he was at least stayed healthy. And one day, the pastor and his wife were having some out-of-town guests over the weekend. And his wife had planned a special, special Sunday dinner to invite some of the people from the church to come meet their friends that had come to visit them. And she'd planned this special menu, and she got out the good china and the fine white linens, and they're just seated at the table, and they've just had their blessing. And what happens but the front door of the parsonage swings open, and in comes Johnny Cornflakes, kind of drunk. Not the kind of guest that you would think of inviting when you're trying to make a good impression on both the leaders in your church and your folks from back home. You'd hand him a sandwich out the back door, but you wouldn't necessarily extend him an invitation to Sunday dinner. But there he was. And the pastor went on to write about this story, and he said, "Suddenly I understood what those Pharisees and Sadducees felt like. Because that's what Jesus was doing. He was inviting in all of the Johnny Cornflakes all around Jerusalem and Galilee to sit down and have dinner. Not just a sandwich out the back door, but fine white linens." And there was Johnny Cornflakes right in the middle of it. Now, there are plenty of people in this day and age that would feel very uncomfortable in that kind of situation, as they did back in the time of Jesus. People were uncomfortable. He didn't fit into a box. He wasn't what they expected. But the one thing they and we knew and we can learn and we can appreciate and for which we can be thankful, and that is that Jesus cared, and loved everybody. He didn't come to this world just to shock the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That may have been part of what happened, but that's not why he came. He came because of folks like you and me. He came because of folks like the apostles, because of folks like the blind man, folks like Zacchaeus, folks like the woman by the road that reached out and touched his robe. He came for the common person. He came for the average Joe and Judy in the world. He came for you and for me. And then one more story, and I think that's it for today. There was a pastor one time, and his name was Paige Patterson. And the story has resonated with me over the years. His style of ministry and his theology was not exactly what most churches might have looked for in a pastor, but he cared about people. He went down into the downtown streets on a Friday night, and he would sit around and talk with some of the people that had been forgotten, the people who had dropped out. He would go to the Little League games and sit down and talk to the youngsters, tossing a ball back and forth to some of them who might not be good enough to play in the game. Paige would go out and interact with people that were not necessarily the coat and collar kind of folks that you want to bring into your church. Well, this rings with true to me because y'all know I'm Presbyterian. What you may not know is that I grew up in what we in Orlando affectionately called the Vatican, a 3,600 member, at that time, downtown Presbyterian church called the Vatican, because if you were anybody in town, you went to either the First Presbyterian or the First Baptist or the First Methodist. They were all within a block of each other. All of my friends and I, each sanctuary had a balcony, and all of my friends and I would meet at one church or another, and we'd go sit in the balcony. And we'd worship at the Presbyterian church, at the Methodist church, and even at the Baptist church. Every Sunday, we'd go sit together after Sunday school. We'd agree where we would go, and after we left our Sunday schools, we would converge. I'm sure those pastors hated to see us come. But at First Pres, we had a youth minister just like this Paige Patterson. He got into trouble because Friday nights he'd go downtown and he'd go visit some of the folks in the local bars. He got into trouble because most any weekday, you could find him at the youth court, sitting there with some young people that were to stand before a judge for one reason or another. He had a ministry that was not quite what people at First Pres were used to. So he only lasted a couple of years. And then they decided he didn't quite fit the image of a pastor at the Vatican. So he left, with a little urging, I might say, from the 150-member session governing body of that church. Well, is there any surprise that after that, there were very, very few youngsters, youth my age, in Sunday school or in church, unless the youth choir happened to be singing? We knew the man, we knew his ministry, we knew how much he cared, not just for us, but for other people. And then to hear that he didn't fit the image? Well, I don't think Jesus would fit the image either if we started putting up criteria for him to join the Presbyterian Church or the Lutheran Church. Maybe he could fit in here, because we're not the button-down collar type. He might begin to fit in here. You couldn't put him in a box. He was unexpected, but we know he came to this earth for people. He came to this earth because he cared, because God loves us, and he wanted to send his son among us to let each and every one of us know you are loved. You are not loved with a nebulous kind of love. You are loved with the deep, profound love and mercy and grace of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus came. Every lesson he taught, everything he did, every conversation he had, every pain and suffering that he endured and did for us. We are God's children, and he came for each and every one of us, not just the us who are sitting here today, or who will sit here next week or last week, but all of the us's out there in the world too. That is the one thing that we know for sure about Jesus Christ. He loves with the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.